It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. We are the podcast coming to you each and every day, talking all about everything going on in the world of daily fantasy sports. Of course, the industry continues to expand. We get ridiculous tournaments pretty much every single day, every single week. And I'll tell you what, it's a great time to be a daily fantasy player. Probably going to be considering calling this the golden age of daily fantasy when you consider all the bonuses and, overlay and all the great stuff that we as players are getting from a lot of these daily sites. So take advantage of it now because I have a hunch in a few years that's probably not going to be like this. So, like I say, let's take advantage of the situation while we have it, because who knows how long it's going to last. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. My name is Dan Bach. This is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. We're all presented by Daily Joust. And today on the podcast, we're going to bring on a guest today. We're going to talk to J21 Willie. He was the runner-up. He was the guy who was in the lead pretty much all day long, and then in the fourth quarter, the Chicago Bears picked off a pass, and well, that pass was worth $75,000 as he dropped from first to second in the DraftKings main event. But he was the top finishing grinder that we had in the field, so I wanted to get his take on that day, that situation, and very interesting to hear him pretty much acknowledge that if he didn't sign up for the contest earlier in the week, he might not have played in it, period. So we'll get to that conversation here just shortly. Thanks a lot to him for being willing to come onto the podcast with us today. So that's going to be coming up shortly. Do need to give some shout-outs. I missed one from last week as BuzzDraft, who I have to really say has improved their site dramatically. I remember when they came on a year or so ago to where they are now. They have really made some nice enhancements in their game. They just wrapped up their championship series. They kind of did an NBA / NFL combo. And a big shout-out going to Misfit, who was the winner. He's a guy, Roto-Grinders member, and he took down the main event over there on BuzzDraft, so I did want to give him a shout-out today. But last night, it was Napster Man. He claimed the spot in the Draft Street Basketball Championship as he won the qualifier there. He won by less than 1 point. And, you know, Napster Man is a guy who is known for loading up teams in tournaments. You know, I think it was week one where he went crazy on DraftKings and then went crazy in the FFFC. And he had a great week in all around in week one. And that's really what he's known for. You know, he's a big GPP player. But again, normally it's a lot of volume, and there's nothing wrong with that if you've got the bankroll to do it, because therefore you can, you know, cover your bases if you feel like you've got a pretty good grasp on the guys who are going to do well. Well, last night he fired a single bullet out there in the Draft Street Basketball Championship qualifier, and it was good enough. So even though he put 70 teams in last week on FanDuel and only took one on Draft Street last night, and he won by less than 1 point, a pretty epic sweat. So he is going to take a shot at the $50,000 in the Draft Street Basketball Championship, which is going to take place later in the year. That's a 3-day online event. And it was pretty funny because he was pretty pumped afterwards in the chat. He's like, yeah, I'm going to Vegas, baby. Yeah, 2 trips to Vegas in 6 months. This is going to rock. And I hated to burst his bubble and let him know, you know, it's an online championship there on Draft Street. So I asked him, what's the plan for Friday on FanDuel? He said 80 teams. Gotta love it. That is the Napster Man. And he, you know, sooner or later we're going to have to come up with another name than the Nap, because he's actually starting to win these tournaments rather than finishing second. But he's a great member of our community and had a great night last night over there on Draft Street. So congrats to him for taking that sucker down. Today on the podcast, like I say, we got the interview here, and then after that, we're going to check out some NFL matchup notes for this weekend. Again, the big 55 5K Super Joust coming up on Sunday, and yours truly has two seats into that. Only a field of 55, so a bit smaller. Everybody's going to walk away with something. We'll go over some matchup notes today. Tomorrow we'll look at some salaries over there on Joust. And even if you're not in the 55 people who are playing for the $55,000, don't worry. The information I'm going to give you, very relevant. They've got a great $100 Emperor's Gold buy-in tournament. You should give a try, and a lot of other great action. So we'll go over them and give them, you know, the floor tomorrow in our NFL analysis. Also have some college football we'll get to here shortly. So busy day on the podcast, but let's just jump right into it with our conversation. He won $25,000, but still fell probably a little bit short of what his goal was. It's J21 Willie. Really excited to bring on our next guest to the podcast. He was the grinder with the highest finish in the big 250K main event over there on DraftKings this past weekend, and probably had one of the most epic sweats that a person will ever undergo in daily fantasy, at least for quite some time. He goes by the moniker J21 Willie. His name is Joe, and he joins us up there near Detroit, Michigan. Joe, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Dan, doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Now, you know, you probably, if I talked to you before, you know, the main event, and I just said, hey, you know what, I'm going to be asking you to come on the podcast, you probably would be feeling like something pretty good probably happened to you, huh?
That's true, yep.
Well, and let's face it, what happened wasn't a bad thing. You finished second. You won $25,000. But obviously the difference between first and second was quite a difference, $100,000 for first place. Before we get into the actual sweat itself, let's talk about leading up to this main event. How many entries did you end up putting in the main event on DraftKings that day?
I actually only had one entry.
Now, did you gain that entry via qualifier, or did you pony up the money for it?
Just ponied up the money for it.
Now, where does this fall in terms of your daily fantasy, kind of play? Like, is that higher stakes than you normally play? Is this a situation where you saw the payday and said, hey, I got to take a crack at it? What was your mindset, you know, ponying up the $200 to, you know, fire a single bullet into, you know, this game that had, you know, thousands or so entries?
Well, at first I thought there was going to be a huge overlay because I did buy in. And did not think at all it was going to fill, and looked like it was going to be $50,000-$60,000 in overlay. So that was really my first thought process. But I have played stakes like that in the past. I took a decent time off just because of my job and what I do. And when I switched it, or when I got back into it, it's right around this time of the year, and I said, hey, why not give it a try when you get $50,000 or $63,000 going on?
So let's just throw this out here. Now, it sounds like you registered like maybe earlier in the week because it ended up filling. Okay, so let's just play hypothetical here. You know, if you logged on Sunday morning and you saw that, hey, this sucker's going to fill, do you still think you would have taken a shot at it, or was it strictly the overlay that kind of got you in?
I probably would not have taken a shot at it if I saw 1,350 or 1,300 people out of 1,400 eligible getting in. But who knows? It might have all changed, too. That was my first thought process on that.
Well, you know, you made the wise decision to go for it anyway, regardless of what happened. It's definitely worked out well for you. Now, going into the day, is this a team that you just made earlier in the week and you left it? Did you tinker with it at all? How did the process of putting a team together go?
Well, first thing with DraftKings, which I really do like, is you can swap out players, which led to a huge, huge debate later on. But at first, I just looked at matchups, and with 1,400 people and a big GPP like that, you really need to pick a few flyers and just kind of think of people that can hit and go crazy. And I did like the matchups with Romo and Dez, and I did like the matchup with Charles. So those two hit really well for me. And then I kind of just filled in from there. Mostly Sunday morning, I did finalize everything.
Yeah, you know, looking up and down your roster, you know, the one thing I always love about daily fantasy is to kind of see what the other people's thought process was when they made their team. And you look up and down yours, I mean, the only thing that really differentiated between what I had and what you had on a lot of teams was
was the Dez Bryant. I just did not pony up that extra money. I went the cheap route with Miles Austin. But, boy, did you hit a home run with Charles. And, I mean, did you feel good about the Dez-Romo combo going in? I mean, obviously, Dez, if you used it in a $200 entry. But, I mean, did you feel really good about it?
I just figured that to win something like that or to get up there high, that many people, you had to have something like that happen. And I figured Cowboys are going to score points against the Saints. Going to be one of the two, so actually I went with I did think about Austin, and so I got to go with Dez.
Yeah, and you basically didn't have too many holes in your lineup. Gates had a touchdown. Reggie Bush, he was somebody I was really high on, 32 fantasy points for him. Even Alfred Morris got in the end zone. It looks like just about every single one of your players scored a touchdown that day, which is, you know, when you play in a field that big, that's something that you need. Kicker got you 7 points. It's about right. And then, you know, we look at the defense, and you went the cheap route with the defense. You know, I said going into the week – that I felt, you know, the free play on the board, Chicago against Arizona, Chicago had everything to play for. But let's face it, you got 14 points from the Dolphins at $2,600 on your salary cap. You know, ultimately, it might not have worked out the best in the end. But tell me your thought process in going cheap at defense.
It's just kind of how I filled in. I don't take too much crazy value in defenses. Same with kickers. I kind of look for the cheaper route. Think who could possibly score a touchdown, and obviously it didn't work out too well, but the Dolphins did do all right. And just after filling in on the whole team, I got lucky with Gates scoring that touchdown. He's been pretty rough all year, and then I said I got about $5,000 left. I got to fill in defense and kicker and hope, and luckily they both did all right.
Now let's talk about as the day went on. Were you following this closely?
Yes, I actually had a group of friends over for our yearly fantasy. And kind of really didn't tell them anything about it. And then there was a time we were watching Red Zone, and I really wasn't even checking it. And I saw Reggie Bush score a touchdown, Alfred Morris score a touchdown, Jamal Charles score his long touchdown, and then Gates score his touchdown. I said, oh, boy, I should probably check into this.
And sure enough, you were probably near the top, because I remember when I checked in, you were near the top most of the tournament. So what's going through your mind at this point in time? I mean, let's face it, $100,000 is some, you know, pretty life-changing money there.
Exactly, I'm thinking too, life-changing money.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, you know, unlike a lot of other sites, you have the ability to go in and tinker with things after the game start. And, you know, it looks like the guys you had in the late games were, what, Demaryius Thomas? Was he the only one you had?
Yep, he was the only one left, and I wasn't first. And I was actually sitting there, was about 8 people over, and I said, what do we do here? And kind of looked at a few different teams and thinking what they had salary cap-wise. And I said it was between him, Decker, and Victor Cruz were the three options I had.
And
stuck with Thomas.
You obviously stuck with Thomas, but was it a tough decision to do it? I mean, I think obviously between those three, I think he's definitely obviously was the best option. You know, clearly looking at it afterwards, it's easy to say. But, you know, you were in a position where they were chasing you. So you didn't really have to mix things up necessarily, right?
Correct. And I, every person that I was with actually, and my thought process is, hey, you pick this team to start off with. Things are going crazy. Stick with it or else you're going to kick yourself.
Well, I think you made the wise decision. Now, obviously, as the afternoon games are going, you basically know to a pretty good point, I'm guessing, you know, what it's going to take to win. How did those afternoon games go? I mean, let's face it, it's one thing to be sitting around by yourself or with your wife, but when you're with a whole bunch of buddies, probably knocking back some beers, and you see $100,000 staring you in the eye. I mean, take me through those, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock games and what that was like.
Well, it started off well because I knew of Red Zone, and all of a sudden, right off the bat, Demaryius Thomas scored a quick touchdown. I was like, this is perfect. So I started going through the list of entries, and luckily knowing that the 8 o'clock game was San Fran, Seattle, and I wasn't really expecting too many plays from that game. I said, I really got to just take a look at the field and see what's gone left. And there was the Pudge guy and the BBY were two people that I was looking really at, because BBY actually got probably almost on as unlucky as I didn't, because he had Forte, who got hurt early. So he could have made that late comeback as well. And then I was just hoping for no Chicago D touchdowns. And, of course, didn't work out too well.
Well, they scored 26 points. I mean, they were playing against the, you know, statistically one of the worst offenses, at least in terms of, you know, defensive fantasy scoring wise. You couldn't have picked a better matchup. I mean, when these things happen, I mean, you still had the lead, but slowly but surely he's creeping up on you. I mean, was this a situation where you just, I mean, you want to be excited for 100,000. You don't want to get too down on yourself for winning 25, but, you know, was it a lot of yelling? Was it just, you know, butterflies? I mean, what kind of emotions were you going through?
It was a combination of both. I kind of wanted to break something because I looked at it and I said, hey, these guys can score 22, 23 points, which is a good day for defenses, and I'll be okay. I said, just don't score touchdowns. Just don't score touchdowns. They can have picks, fumbles, interceptions, or sacks. I'll be fine. Because I believe the Chargers D only put up 22 points. They had like 11 sacks and return. And I said, just don't score touchdowns. And then Beanie Wells just falls over and drops the ball in the end zone. And I said, this is going to be a nerve-wracking situation. And then sure enough, led me through that last pick, and I was just like, oh, God.
Well, when did that take place? When did you finally get overtaken from first to second?
That happened at, like, the start of the fourth quarter, right around that time of that Arizona game. And I said, but there's still chances. If Arizona would have just scored, they would have got the 14 points. So there still was outs, and then, of course, they bring in Brian Hoyer, who not one of my favorite guys anyway because he's a Spartan guy. I said, I really have no chance to win this now. I said it was like fate.
So you were, you know, for the longest time, you just hoping for non-turnovers, then you're just hoping for scoring, and you know what, just kind of fell a little bit short. And let's face it, you know, $25,000 is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you had a chance, though, at $100,000. But, I mean, as somebody who plays in the industry, I don't know how long you've been playing. It's got to be pretty cool to be able to actually buy into a tournament where you actually had a chance to win six figures. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
It was very cool. The funny thing is that we did talk about it. To somebody like early on, I said, this is kind of a crazy payoff. Right when that touchdown fiasco happened, I said, this is kind of a crazy payoff structure between with 100 and then 25, but we'll see what happens. But it is definitely my biggest one in daily fantasy, and look forward to hopefully another sweat somewhere even close to that.
So what's the plan with the money? Do you have anything that you're going to spend it on that you've, you know, going to put it to good use with?
Yeah, actually, I'll put it to real good use. I just bought a new place and furnished it and made myself a nice little home theater system, and actually be able to pay off all the bills with that. So
awesome! Perfect. That's what I like to hear. So you've already got it planned out. That's the way it goes.
Yep.
Well, you know, Joe, certainly appreciate you telling us a little bit about it. Like I say, that's an experience that all of us hope to have at some point in time, but not all of us do. And even though it didn't go your way, I'm glad that you were able to, you know, still walk away with a big sum of money. And thanks for spending some time with us on the podcast telling us about it.
Dan, not a problem. Appreciate you having me.
Okay, let's look at some NFL football coming up this weekend. We're just going to kind of break up some of the matchup notes. We did this last week, and going to fly through these a little bit faster, as should be an interesting weekend of games for sure in the NFL. It's week 17. It's always kind of questionable exactly how it's going to go down, but regardless, let's take a look at some interesting stats as we move into the final week of the regular season. The Jets, they take on the Bills. The fewest fantasy points to tight ends over the last five games is the Jets. Not that many people were going to consider Scott Chandler, but that's more reason not to. The Jets also allowing the second most fantasy points to opposing defenses over the past five games. And the Jets also allowed 21 sacks in the past five games, gave up 11 last week. And I think this begs the question, is Buffalo's defense a play? Very possibly. Minimum salary over on Joust this week could be a spot to maybe take a look at them there. But again, they are the Buffalo Bills. Even though the Jets are bad, the Bills are the Bills. The Eagles and the Giants. Eagles' third most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks over the past five games. But does anybody trust Eli Manning? I don't know. It's like Philadelphia is so bad, but Manning has just been so mediocre to bad himself, and really looks like the Giants are out of playoff contention. So really tough to go with Eli to this weekend, I think. The Giants, they're allowing the second most fantasy points to running backs. LeSean McCoy, he played 84% of the snaps last week. McCoy, obviously one of the top running backs in the league when healthy, but the question is, do you trust him enough? Might not be a bad play this weekend. Eagles also with 9 TDs allowed to wide receivers the past 5 games. That is the most in the NFL. Hakeem Nicks a little banged up there. Maybe Victor Cruz, someone we should take a look at. The Jaguars, they're allowing the 4th most fantasy points to running backs in the past 5 games. And you know he's going against Chris Johnson. That seems like a tasty, tasty matchup for CJ2K. And, you know, a lot of people are speculating whether or not he's going to go back to Tennessee next year. I think he has a big day this weekend. 6 rushing touchdowns allowed by the Titans over the past 5 games is the second most in the NFL. If you're a believer in Montel Owens, maybe you can go that route. Panthers, they're allowing the least fantasy points to quarterbacks over the past 5 games against Drew Brees. That stat doesn't really matter. The Panthers, 34 receptions to running backs over the past 5 games is the most in the NFL. Kind of interesting considering Darren Sproles comes in this weekend. He's known for getting anywhere from 8 to 10 receptions sometimes out of the backfield. It's kind of on a good day. The Saints allowed 7 touchdowns to wide receivers the past 5 games. That's the second most in the NFL. This game is shaping up to be a shootout. Clearly, Steve Smith, someone you got to consider. Greg Olson, someone you got to consider there for the Panthers. Texans must win to clinch home field, and the Colts, they're locked into the 5th seed, so you got to think Houston's going to be basically firing all cylinders here. And the Colts, second most rush yards allowed the past 5 games. That's 163 yards per game. Only allowed a couple of rushing touchdowns, but Arian Foster looks like a lock in this one. The Texans, the second most fantasy points to wide receivers in the past 5 games. The question is, how much of Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne do we see? The Colts really have 0 to play for in this game, so I'm not sure. I think it's risky to take any of the Colts players. Atlanta clinched home field, really nothing to play for in this one whatsoever. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, I don't think I touch any of these guys. It's a good matchup against Tampa Bay, but the Falcons, they've only allowed 2 passing touchdowns the past 5 games, but allowed the most yards to wide receivers over those 5 games. So I think Vincent Jackson is someone you can consider in this one. He's obviously the number one target there for Freeman. I think he looks like a good play. 6 rushing touchdowns allowed by the Browns in the past 5 games. That's the second most in the NFL. But the question is, who in the Steelers do you trust? Jonathan Dwyer, Rashard Mendenhall, Isaac Redman? I don't think so. I mean, I think this Browns-Steelers game, just stay away. No interest in that one whatsoever. Ravens, pretty much locked in the 4th seed. Have a chance to move up a little bit. The Bengals, they are locked into the 6th seed. Well, the Bengals, 3rd fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks over the past 5 games. And the Ravens, the 5th fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks over the past 5 games. And the Bengals, 2nd least amount of fantasy points allowed to running backs over the past 5 games. So I don't know if Ray Rice is the way you want to go this week. The Bears, they need to win, plus a Vikings loss to the Packers to get into the playoffs. A lot on the line. Megatron, 108 yards short of 2,000 on the season. A lot of people are going to be taking him this week, guaranteed. Now, the Bears, 4th fewest fantasy points to running backs the last 5 weeks, while the Lions have 7 rushing touchdowns. That's the most in the NFL over the last 5 games. Now, the Lions, the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 5. But the interesting thing here is these are 2 teams that literally have 1 receiver. And I don't understand why teams just don't like line up in punt coverage and put 2 wide receivers on the line against Brandon Marshall and against Calvin Johnson and say, okay, Chris Durham, you beat us. Or Devin Hester, you beat us. I mean, Hester can't run a route to save his life. It's pretty easy. Cutler is going to throw to Marshall every time, and I actually think teams are starting to notice. 6 for about, I think, 68 or so the last 2 games for Marshall with a couple of touchdowns, or with a touchdown in each game. You take those touchdowns away, and Marshall doesn't pay off his price. I'm a little nervous about him this week. I know it's a lot on the line here for Chicago, nothing on the line here for Dallas, but I think it's a dangerous situation to roll with Brandon Marshall too heavy this week. The Bears, they need... we just did that one. Chargers, they're allowing the 5th most fantasy points to running backs the past 5 games. And I believe they've also are the team that Darren McFadden had like 14 receptions against in like week one or week two. So I'm done with DMC. He burned me again last week. Killed me any chance I had out there in DraftKings, so I'm not going to go that route. Going to learn my lesson here once again. Denver, they need a win to get a bye. I think that Peyton Manning's going to put up some numbers here. Not a great performance in their first matchup against Kansas City, but I think that changes. Broncos, the best rush D the past five games, the least fantasy points to running backs. In Denver, only team with no rushing touchdowns allowed in the last five games, so pretty risky to go with Jamaal Charles here in this one. Green Bay needs a win for a bye. Vikings need a win to get in the wild card. So this is definitely an important game for both teams. The Vikings, with 77 receptions allowed to wide receivers the past five games, is the most in the NFL. Say hello to James Jones, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, all these guys. Certainly someone to keep your eye on this weekend. Packers, with 41 receptions allowed to wide receivers the past five games. That is the least in the NFL. And going against a team like the Vikings with Christian Ponder and Jarius Wright, they've got no receivers anyway. It's going to be Adrian Peterson. It's whether or not he can carry them. And to be honest with you, I'd be a little bit nervous. I would literally put every man in the box. And I know teams have done that, and Peterson has still gone crazy. But you got to make Christian Ponder beat you in this situation. So I think certainly Aaron Rodgers and the receiving corps is the way you want to look in that game. Seattle could still win the division with the Niners' loss, otherwise a likely 5 seed. The Rams only allowing 2 passing touchdowns over the past 5 games, but Russell Wilson absolutely on fire right now. The Niners, they need to win to clinch the division, and with a Packers' loss, they would also get a bye week. The Cardinals, second fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks in the past 5 games, and the Cardinals also allowing the most fantasy points to running backs over the past 5 games, so I'm not sure I am a big fan of taking Frank Gore, but there could be some justification to do it. But I think a lot of guys getting carries in that offense right now. Cardinals, they're allowing the most fantasy points to opposing defenses over the past 5 games. Obviously, San Francisco at home, a lot on the line against the Cardinals. Seems like a good combination, if you ask me. Denver or Houston loss could get the Patriots a bye week. Both lose, and New England has home field. But only 4 passing touchdowns allowed by the Dolphins in the past 5 games, and the Dolphins only allowed 1 touchdown to wide receivers over that span. That should not really deter you from taking Welker or Aaron Hernandez. Those guys should be just fine. Winner wins the division in the Redskins-Cowboys matchup. Redskins could backdoor into the playoffs with a loss to the Vikings and a Bears loss, but the Cowboys, second most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks the past 5 games, and the Cowboys, the third most fantasy points allowed to running backs over the past 5 games. And you combine that with the Redskins, third most fantasy points to wide receivers over the past 5 games, and the third most fantasy points to tight ends, makes you think that this is certainly going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's one of the highest over-unders on the board. RG3, Tony Romo is definitely back on fire. Dez Bryant certainly carried a lot of people's teams a week ago. I don't think it's a bad way to consider any of those guys this weekend. So that's just the quick matchup notes this weekend to take a look at for our NFL games. And we will go over some salaries tomorrow on the podcast. So now it's a quick look at college football. Of course, you know, college football, I had a great season. And the thing about it is, just like with the players themselves, we get a long layoff here, and you never know how you're going to be after a long layoff. You know, you kind of get in the groove of the regular season every single week. You're kind of following things. You see one thing to the next, kind of put things in your mind, and then you get like a month off, and suddenly I got to research all this stuff again. So hopefully these picks are up to par. Again, these are 4 games going through December 31st. Obviously, we'll come out with another set of picks and predictions for you before the January 1st games. We will do a podcast for you on New Year's Eve, so that's when we'll break that sucker out. A couple of quarterbacks to take a look at. Brett Hundley at UCLA. If you've listened to this, you know that Baylor cannot play defense. And I love going against Baylor because their offense is dynamic, meaning that we have high-scoring games pretty much every single week. And Brett Hundley, I mean, come on, he's going against a defense allowing 400 yards of total offense. He's a dual threat quarterback. obviously not playing like a freshman anymore, as the guy's absolutely legit. I think he's a lock for 4 touchdowns. And the thing about him, the price on Hundley is not out of control. So I think he's the guy that a lot of people are going to have, and rightfully so, should have a big game against Baylor. Ryan Nassib in Syracuse, they take on West Virginia. And anytime a quarterback takes on a defense that's ranked 124th against the pass, you got to take a look at him, a long look. And Nassib is someone who I think fits the profile of a big game here. They do not have a really big running game. The total of this is 73. Syracuse, though, only 3.5-point dogs, meaning that they're looking at them to score, what, like 5 touchdowns in this game. So I think there's a good chance Nassib will have 3 or 4 of those. You look at their game last year against West Virginia. He had 4 touchdowns, ran for another. I think Ryan Nassib, good price for the situation. You cannot absolutely beat it. The other guys I like, Geno Smith, obviously, against West Virginia, or for West Virginia. I think that's a shootout. Nick Florence for Baylor, again, likely shootout against UCLA. Brendan Kay is an interesting name to consider for Cincinnati, because Duke is just absolutely terrible on defense, so he may do okay. And one little Draft Street sleeper for you is the quarterback over there on Navy. I think Steelman might be his. I have to check. Can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he's sitting at about 9K. And I'll tell you what, this guy can put up crazy rushing yards. And I'm not totally sold on Arizona State being overly excited to take on Navy in that game. Running backs, Lachey Seastrunk. Let's just call him Lachey. He's already actually come out and said he's going to be in New York for the Heisman ceremony next year. And you know what? When you rush for a 186, 136, 178 in the final 3 games of the season, you can kind of make those kind of declarations. UCLA, not great against the run, gave up at least 171 yards rushing in each of the last 3 games. The thing about Seastrunk that's frustrating, though, not the goal line back. That's some guy named Glasgow Martin. Great name. But hopefully this guy can break a couple of long runs and get into the end zone. Should have a pretty good game there for Baylor. George Wynn of Cincinnati. Duke, like I say, they're terrible at defense. Amazing that they made a bowl game. They're ranked 90th against the run and had given up over 260 on the ground in 3 out of their last 4 games. Now, Cincinnati doesn't have a real explosive pass game, so look for them to grind it out with George Wynn. Has 8 touchdowns the past 4 weeks. Should be good for 2, at least, I think, against Duke. Other guys I like, obviously, Jonathan Franklin. He's going to be the highest-priced running back in this game set for UCLA against Baylor. Juwan Jameson against Rutgers. Tougher matchup against Virginia Tech. I like the fact he catches balls out of the backfield and might be his last game there for the Scarlet Knights. I think he's going to go pro. Storm Woods for Oregon State and Zach Stacy of Vanderbilt, a couple of guys to consider. Wide receivers, Marquise Lee and Robert Woods, USC. You know, when they're playing, if they were playing a halfway decent team, I might not go with these guys, because honestly, I don't think they can be excited. This is a team that was expected to play for the national championship, and here they are playing Georgia Tech. Yeah, exciting stuff. Marquise Lee, total stud. No doubt about it. Probably one of the, if not the best wide receiver in college football. But here's the problem we're running into with these guys. Matt Barkley, banged up. I'm doubtful he's going to play in this game, so I think you got to take him down a notch. But Robert Woods, not great numbers towards the tail end of the season. His price is pretty tasty out there, and Georgia Tech is just terrible on defense. So tough to see USC, even when they don't care, not putting, you know, 35 points up on the board. Syracuse, they have a wide receiver by the name of Alec Lemon, who I think you should look at. Lemon off to a good start. Stepped it up the second half, or didn't get off to a good start, but stepped it up in the second half of the year. As we talked about, West Virginia, terrible in the secondary, should have a big game here. And lastly, Tavon Austin of West Virginia. This guy has actually kind of moved into a hybrid wide receiver running back. 47 carries the last handful of games, and he's only rushed for 470 yards. That's like 10 yards a carry, 3 touchdowns, and he's still catching the ball out of the backfield, returning punts. Whoever gets this guy in the NFL is going to get a dynamic playmaker. Other guys I like, Stedman Bailey, West Virginia. Shaq Evans, he is a nice value over there at UCLA. He's their top wide receiver. And Jamison Crowder at Duke. And Brandon Cooks looks highly underpriced. And if you're playing on FanDuel, look at Marcus Wheaton. He's way underpriced on that site. Absolute must play for that number. Last couple of guys to take a look at the tight end position, Joseph Fouria. Don't usually like spending on tight ends, but let's face it, Baylor sucks. This guy has touchdowns pretty much every single game, it seems. Going to be a high-scoring affair. Got to be shocked if he doesn't end up with at least one touchdown. So look for him. Pay the price. Joseph Fouria, UCLA. And lastly, Beckett Wales of Syracuse, going off the board with him a little bit. Not the biggest name out there in college football, but pretty serviceable. But you know my feelings on the West Virginia secondary. Not very high in them. So look for him to possibly have a good game. So coming up next week, we will hit up on the January 1st bowl games and the ones that go through for the BCS game. So we'll have one more look at college football coming up next week on the podcast. So it's time for me to say thank you to the great sponsor of the show, Daily Joust. Make sure you go and play some of this college football that I'm discussing. They've got lots of different game sets of the bowl games. So make sure you go over there, give them a look, put in a team, and I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun. Definitely going to make New Year's Eve a little more fun, or New Year's Day a little bit more fun. Because let's face it, nothing worse than, you know, battling that hangover. But if you can battle that hangover, but, you know, you've got some money in the line, you win some money, it makes it all that much better. So give them a try over there on Joust for that. Also, like I say, the big $20,000 first place prize over there, biggest one they've ever given away on Joust. Hopefully I can get my mitts on that. It's the Super Joust. Too late for you to get a seat into it. It's invitation only, meaning you got to qualify to get in. But they've got plenty of qualifiers going on in their NBA Super Joust, which is going to take place, I believe, sometime in March. So please check out Daily Joust for that. College basketball as well. That's going to get more in full swing, I think, after the new year gets rolling. We get conference play, and it'll be fun to get some college basketball back. Maybe a little discussion here on the podcast. But please go over there, give them a chance to earn your business. 100% deposit bonus. Can't beat that. And the only place you're finding it is DailyJoust.com. Sign up through our links here on RotoGrinders, and you know what else you're getting? All of our incentives, a monthly free roll every single month. I mean, geez, if you haven't signed up to there, what are you waiting for? They're a great site, and if you enjoy the podcast, hey, they support us, so please support them. They are DailyJoust.com. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to you for today. Make sure you go out there, get some of that action. I think the big tournament on DraftKings closes at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and there's going to be mucho overlay in that sucker. So make sure you get your entries in. In the meantime, follow us over there on Twitter. It is at RotoGrinders. We've got a nice Facebook page. And on iTunes, click subscribe to this podcast, so therefore you get it each and every day I upload it. Till tomorrow, everyone, have yourself an excellent Thursday night, and we will see you.